69, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, Birds, and welcome to the latest edition of the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Voss, Kason Chingoti, and joined by a very, very special guest of the Redbird volleyball team, Kennedy Guest. Kennedy, thank you so much for joining the show.
No, thank you for having me.
Kennedy, I mean, we could go down the entire list of everything that you've done this year. I mean, it's been a phenomenal rookie season for you. Third in MVC in hit percentage, leader in the Redbird in blocks, second on the team in kills, three-time Missouri Valley Freshman of the Week in the Missouri Valley Conference. It's been an incredible season for you. How have you kind of like been able to handle that pressure and just really just take the league over by storm at this point?
To be honest, my team really helps me with like a whole bunch of pressure. Like, if I am feeling like really anxious, I feel like they take most of that pressure off, and like I just feel so relaxed while I'm playing. I feel comfortable, even especially when we have home games with like a really, really like packed like gym at CFQ. Like literally, like I just feel so comfortable ever since I've been started playing.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, I've been seeing that you guys are on one heck of a winning streak right now, 6 games in a row, and I mean, it's just been phenomenal to watch and see as well, and you've obviously been one of the anchors behind that, so super exciting, and I think everyone on this campus is super excited for Redbird Volleyball as well.
Yeah, and like you said, you've been having a great season so far, but at the same time, do you have any goals left for the rest of the season? Like personal goals?
Personal goals? Yeah. Hopefully to get Freshman of the Year. I really hope that I do get that for sure. Just really, like, continuing and, like, pushing myself throughout the game and really staying true to myself and being confident. It's pretty much all the goals that I have.
Awesome.
It's been really cool to just see your kind of progress over the year. A lot of people, you know, when they see you play, kind of forget that you're a freshman just because you look so comfortable out there. So what I've been really curious to know is, like, how has the transition been coming from high school to college volleyball? What has the transition been like? How has the team kind of helped you really acclimate to not only the college life, you know, being a student in college, but also as a teammate of a college team?
It is a really big difference between like right now, like high school and here at ISU. I just think the really like big difference is just having a team where like I really bond with. I feel like a lot like back in high school, I didn't really bond with most of my teammates, but like now, like we see each other like every single day and we all practice the same, and then, like, I know all of us, we all lift together, so we all, like, go through the same things, and I really think what's really made me feel more comfortable in, like, playing and just, like, off the court in general is just the communication with my teammates. Like, even if, like, I'm having a bad day or if something's not going right for me, they're going to be the ones to be like, hey, like, always be concerning, like, are you okay? Like, do you need anything? And that's what I really enjoy the most about playing with these girls.
I think that's kind of a good way to riff off of that a little bit. Going back to high school, do you want to like let our Red Zone listeners know like kind of your backstory, how you've where you came from, and how you've gotten to Illinois State to this point?
Yeah, of course. For sure, I know like I really didn't have a good high school season. Well, we did have a good high school season. Let me not say that. Like we won state 2 years in a row. Like from my sophomore year of high school. My high school coach did not think I was going to play in college, so we kind of like scratched that off the list. And then throughout that time, like we didn't win state, we made it to the finals, we were runner up. Then my junior year came, I started really pushing myself and really playing club for Elite Volleyball Academy. Shout out to them. And we ended up going to nationals, but before that, I actually saw Matt at one of my games, and that's how I got recruited at ISU too. And I came on my visit, and I really enjoyed it so much, and that's what made me decide to come here for sure. And I was really excited for nationals when we went to nationals for my high school season, that my coaches got to see me play at nationals, and it was a really good experience. And then we ended up getting third at nationals, and then like my high school season for my senior year, it was just really tough because like we were all going through, like I was mainly the only one that was going to play at a higher level, and no one else was more, like everyone else just seemed like they didn't really care as much. So like in high school, it really took out the passion on how I really play. And then once I came here, I just felt like everything was brought back, like me smiling at every single game and like enjoying like the moments, like of every single game playing with my teammates. Like that's what I really care about the most. And I'm just glad that I can have those moments here at ISU and can really like, trying to say can really just basically like just enjoying every moment, just being like at like Seth Q too and 100%. With my teammates.
And when that place gets loud, it gets loud.
Oh,
so
it gets really loud.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to watch there. And you're from Arkansas, correct?
I am from Arkansas.
So what's like the adjustment from Arkansas to Illinois? You're just getting hit by the cold now.
Yeah, it's, the weather for sure. Yeah. It's been really cold. I mean, I'm adjusting to it a little bit, but like today, like it wasn't as cold today, but like other days it's been freezing. I think the other thing too is probably just like the distance, because like I, like I feel like I am such like a homebody person, so I was very shocked that I wanted to come 7 hours here. But I really think the environment too, because we are not a volleyball state at all.
Okay.
And just coming here, like volleyball, like at Illinois is a really big thing. So I was just very shocked about that too as well.
Yeah. Going off of that, you've already found success in recruitment, obviously. Mm-hmm. And a lot of younger listeners would also like to hear tips on recruitment. So what tips would you give out to younger volleyball recruits listening to the show right now?
The best advice I can give you is if you ever go to any like college visit or any, not maybe not college visit, but any like college like volleyball camps, like wear something that will make you for sure stand out. I didn't get a chance to come to any college camps here, but like others, like be sure to like always stand out, always stay true to yourself and stay confident. And I would say just really communicate with like coaches, like email them, like, and send them videos and make sure like when you're emailing them, like be very broad, like make them understand who you really are as a person more than just as a player.
For sure.
I think it's so cool to see you and your teammates' relationship with Allie has mm-hmm. been like, I can tell the respect that you guys have for her just from being at the press conferences and seeing you guys on the sidelines, the energy that she's able to bring and the energy that you guys give her back. What is the thing that you think Allie is just so good at with making you guys such a gelled together team and has just really provided, I think, just an anchor for you guys this year?
I think Allie as a coach really does a good job of like understanding us as like a person. Like it will be days when like, for sure, like she would want us to communicate, always mm-hmm. ask questions if we like even in practice, like if we don't understand something, like always ask questions. That way, like in a game, we just won't be so confused about it for sure. And then if like we're not having like a really good day or if like something's just not going our way, we always do this thing called a wellness check 24/7. And whatever we put in our wellness check, for sure, like she knows like what's going on and she will be the one to like ask us like, hey, like talk to me, like what's going on. Like she wants to be the one that is concerned about us and wants us to like, even though like everyone goes through like bad days, but she wants us to still succeed, like even outside of volleyball. But like she is very understanding about that for sure.
Kind of building off not just Allie, but the team in general. I mean, 11-9 on the season, but you're 6-1 in conference and won 6 games in a row. Can you just kind of tell us a little bit more about like what has been the key to this team's success and really just being able to mesh together and go on this win streak?
Our offense for sure, but like we can't really, how do I explain it? Like I feel like we have a really good like spread out of offense, like with Ada, me, and like our right sides, Ruth and Logan. Like everyone's doing a really good job, but I really think too, like, I think everyone in general, like who's out there on their court, they're really confident. So I like trust every single one of our teammates. And I just feel like, I don't know, I just feel like the reason why we're really succeeding is because we all like have a bond and we really are trusting each other. Like even if like one of us messed up, like none of us are going to get like stressed out. Like, whoa, like we're all going to come together as a group for sure. So.
And you've already said that the vets and the seniors have helped you a lot with your growth already as not only just a player, but also as a student at ISU. So what keys have they really given you as older people that have already been through what you're going through right now?
I just know for sure of like just me staying confident and not like not giving up on myself when I do get down on the court sometimes. Like, they are really good at, like, communicating with me, and they're just like, hey, like, we got you. Like, and that's what I really love about them so much. Like, they have really, like, pushed me to be a better person, too, as well. So,
volleyball is such an expressive sport. Like, it's really easy to just get into the vibe of the game and the energy, you know, just even in the crowd, you can tell if you guys are, when you guys are really on it. Mm-hmm. I think the crowd gets with you too. What is so important about you guys giving each other that positive energy on the court when you guys get into a huddle, maybe after someone misses a ball or a block didn't go your guys' way, or maybe even after a tough call? Like, how important is it for you guys to be able to just have that moment together and just be like, hey, guys, we got it, and be resilient like that?
I feel like it's a really big, important thing, especially with volleyball, too, because, like, we have to have, like, really good positive energy, because if one person just has, like, any negative energy, it feeds off of everyone else. And, like if you're stressed out, like, then the whole team's going to get stressed out. Or if, like, if you're messing up really bad and you're just, like, in your head, then, like, everyone can feel it. Like, everyone can, like, see that, too, as well. So I think if, like, if, for instance, if we do mess up on a point, we just know that, like, someone's going to be there for, like, either any of us, like, anyone, like, on the court, someone's going to be there to, like, remove that negative energy, like, off of us and release that stress. So it's just, like, I feel like with this team, it's so much easier to just, like, let things go and feel really calm of, like, playing on the court with these girls.
All right, one more volleyball question before we get to know you a little more personally. But I just want to ask this. If you were to take a look in a crystal ball right now, where do you see your team come season end?
To be honest, I really see us, like, winning conference for sure and seeing us make it to the NCAA tournament.
That would be phenomenal for everyone involved. Yeah, that would be so exciting.
That'd be so sick.
Really awesome.
Like, just to break for a second, like, that would be so sick to see you guys do it.
It would be very exciting. It would be even crazier for most of us freshmen, too, because we would, like, it'd be our first time. Like, we watch it. I know most of us, like, we all watch it on TV, and just being in that moment, it would be amazing.
And it's been a couple of years since they've obviously been to the tournament, so I guarantee everyone, I could see it. You guys are all hungry, I guarantee, for it. All right, I want to get to some fun questions. We did this with Hannah a couple of weeks ago, so I'd love to do it with you as well. What song or artist gets you pumped up before a game or practice?
Ooh, that's a good one. I don't know, but so far we have been listening to, like, this song called Fiend.
Okay.
And every single time we play it, like, everyone just gets so excited, and we just say it, like, over and over again. But it's just been, like, it's a long song, but for some reason it really just gets me amped up.
You guys have, like, a song that, like, you've been playing over this? Has
it
been
that
Fiend?
One.
Like, you won't stop playing.
Not stop playing it, and it's just, it's insane because, like, we'll hear it, and then we'll, like, everyone will just be saying it. And, like, even when we're working out, too, we'll still hear it. And I'm like, yep, that's our song.
It's what builds a team.
It is.
Do you have, like, a pregame ritual you like having every single game?
Okay, so my coaches are making fun of me doing it now. But before a game, I will literally eat, like, 4 bags of Skittles for some reason. But, like, or I'll always have, like, an Alani as an energy drink, maybe one or
those
two, but, like, mainly it's been, like, 4 bags of Skittles for sure.
Skittles works.
I love Skittles.
Yeah, they're the best.
So Julian stole mine because he thinks he's funny like that. So thanks, brother. I appreciate it. I guess I would just want to know, like, what's the mindset going into, like, a game? Like, what's a thing that you try to, like, ground yourself with that, like, puts you in the mindset to be able to go out there and play, but also to make sure you're still having fun while you're playing?
I just think about, like, the opportunity that I'm getting to be out on that court, and I just, like, it just reminds me how, like, even before I get on the court, I just, like, think back about the time where, like, when I was in high school, like, I dreamed of playing in college, and I've dreamed of playing D1, and, like, now, like, thinking about it, it's just, like I'm doing it, like, and I'm doing it with, like, confidence, and I'm, like, not feeling scared to make any mistakes, or I'm not feeling, like, pressure to the point where I'm just getting, like, so anxious. Like, I just have to remember that before I play. And then I always, for sure, like, just thank God for the opportunity that I am getting out there to be on the court.
Kennedy, I wish we had more time. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for having me.
Do you have anyone you want to shout out before we leave, or any final statements that you want to say? Not to put you on the spot. You don't have to do it if you don't want to.
Shout out women's basketball for sure. I feel like they're going to have a good season.
Yeah, we're excited for all of them. We're excited for all of our Redbird athletics, especially this volleyball team. 6-game winning streak. They are back this weekend at Seth Curry Arena, where they'll take on UNI and Indiana State. Once again, Kennedy, thank you so much for joining the show. We come back on the Red Zone. We'll be talking Redbird football as well as a little more Redbird volleyball. WCND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Boss, Kason Shingosi. Thank you so much for Kennedy Guest for coming on. What a great interview. Make sure to go support that Redbird volleyball team, as they have just been phenomenal over conference throughout the season. And we never really got an intro because we were expecting Kennedy to come on at 6:15, which is perfectly fine because she was on time. We were like, let's just do it now, like, instead of having her wait, obviously, 15 minutes. So, Kason, you're joining the show this week as our third chair. Joey LeMaster's out. We've just had a rotating chair of interns throughout the last couple weeks here. And you know what? That's perfectly okay because more people get to shine on the mics.
I'm back.
Yeah, Julian.
Julian's back. It's good to have Julian back in the producer chair. I the vibe is always great in here, and it's always fun to chop it up with the fellas a little bit. You know, different sports. We have our own shticks, whatever we like. You know, what is our favorite sports, which are all we talking about in the office. But it's always fun to have the opportunity to change it up and talk about some of the stuff that we don't really talk about a lot.
Yeah, throughout this episode, we'll be talking not just Redbird athletics right now, as we're going to get into some football and volleyball coverage as well, but we're going to have Cole Skipper join us at 6:30, and we're going to talk some Chicago sports, because I feel like it's been a busy news week there, and we kind of wanted to feature them. We want to obviously do Pick 6 on the second half of the show as well, our weekly pick'em show for the NFL. But once again, if you're interested in texting us, we have a text line now open, 309-503-1033. Once again, that is 309-503-1033. If you want to chirp us about a sports take, if you just want to chime in with something of your own, make sure to text that text line, and we'll respond to it. And also, go to WZND right now on Instagram. Our Pick 6 game of the week is up. That will be the game we pick last and the one that we will talk about the most. So make sure to go vote for that on our Instagram poll at WZND on Instagram. All right, let's get into this Redbird football team, as there is not much to talk about. Kason, you were on the scenes. You were on the call for this one against Missouri State, and I don't think a lot of people expected it to go this way, especially considering the fact that it was at home. The Redbirds get their third loss of the year, losing to Missouri State 41-7. I'll just kick it to you, Kason, and you can do your little soapbox.
Yeah, I mean, so there are a couple things that stuck out to me right away is we've had the quarterback rotation going all year long, and it's something that a lot of us have talked about. It just doesn't seem like there is a set guy that wants to be out there every single snap, every single day. Jake Rubley has come in at various points throughout the year. At quarterback, against North Dakota State at home, he came in the third drive of the game, the third offensive possession, before the game really got out of hand, in the later stages. But when Tommy Rittenhouse was trying to get his rhythm going, Rubley came in. This was a bit of a different situation. Rittenhouse had the big fumble, wound up being down 14-0 early, so Rubley came in and started to do that a little bit. But it was interesting to just watch a team that I felt like just kind of got bull rushed a little bit at the beginning. You had a team that was going to. Missouri State is no slouch. I want to be clear on that. They're a very good team. There's a reason why they're going to the FBS Conference USA, right? There is a reason why they are taking the bump up next season, and they're going to compete in that Conference USA a little bit. But I felt like this was a team that it looked out there and really kind of got surprised by that opening drive touchdown for Missouri State, and then that big fumble recovery for that score, down 14-0 fast, and I just felt like they didn't respond. They didn't go out there and try and fight back. Ended up scoring a touchdown in the second quarter to kind of make it close at the beginning, but eventually Missouri State just ran away with the ball game, and it was a really ugly game. I don't ever like saying that, the ugly game phrase, but it just, nothing looked right from the beginning, and they just never were able to get anything going.
Yeah, to me it just seems like this team has no identity right now. You have guys switching at quarterback still, a guy that's 14 for 28 and a guy that's 9 for 17, and there's so many weeks into the season that you shouldn't even be playing two quarterbacks.
Right.
At the same time, you have all these weapons on offense you could use, like Lloyd, Sobkowitz, Casper, all these guys that are capable of winning you games, but you just cannot. And you're going to go home, you're going to have a home game, and just completely get embarrassed and blown out the waters by Missouri State. And yes, they're a good team, but we were ranked higher than them, and I honestly think that this is a very competitive team, one of the more competitive teams that I have seen here in my 4 years of ISU. So I am not saying that this team is completely horrible. This is a very talented Redbirds team, and it's just very disappointing that this is the point of the season where we're at, that we're trying to hope that they're going to make a playoff spot, and we're more hoping that stuff's going to go their way. But at this point, you have three losses. One's a very bad loss. Two are losses that we expected. But 41-7 does not look good for the people later on in the season saying, should this team be in? Should this team be out? And you're going to go in through the rest of the season playing teams that are kind of okay, but you can't just say they're okay at this point because you're losing to teams that are also around your same vicinity.
Schedule gets easier after this for sure when you look down it. And I talked to our faculty advisor, Steve Cease, this week. I said, does this loss knock them out? And he's, I mean, just follow him on Twitter. He has his updated FCS playoff projections every single week, and it's pretty funny to look at whenever I go into his office. But, he's told me that he felt that they were going to lose one of these games, whether it ended up being to Southern Illinois or Missouri State, and if they win out, they'll make the playoffs. So, I mean, that's a tall task at hand, considering what exactly happened this week with Missouri State, but I still think that's a game you got to win. And I think the biggest thing of it all is, yes, I think Missouri State dominated them on offense, but it was really the turnovers that really kind of...
Turnovers
killed
them. Yeah,
it really shot them in the foot. Two interceptions, one from Rubley and Rittenhouse each, and then two fumbles for a loss, so just not good on that end.
What was so interesting to me about the turnovers was just how avoidable they were. Like, you look, like, seeing some of those turnovers, the bad fumble from Rittenhouse to Wanker's right, trying to pass the ball back, was just a handoff that nobody connected on. You had Wanker's right, who was trying to run and ignored the ball, and then Rittenhouse, who took his eyes off the play. And then you had two bad interceptions, from both Rittenhouse and Rubley, and it felt like such an avoidable hole that we dug ourselves into. And I think that's really kind of what set the tone for the day, was the boys were like, man, we put ourselves in this hole. This was easy mental errors that could have been corrected, and they just didn't. And then they just kind of beat themselves up over it. It feels like there's constant tryouts happening for this team.
Yeah.
Like the quarterback battle is just, it's insane to me that we're in week 7 of college football now.
This
7
is
or 8?
Going to be 8.
We're entering week 8 of the college football season, and I still don't know who's going to be a quarterback the majority of the game. That's ridiculous.
My thing is, like, I know we've been saying that so many times now, but at this point, like, it's just more kind of embarrassing to see two quarterbacks throw out on the field at the same time. You cannot build team chemistry having guys throw the ball 50-50 at practice like that, because the receivers have to be on the same page as the quarterback, the O-line has to be on the same page as the quarterback, and when you have two guys that are playing completely different ways of football, one that likes to run the ball and one likes to pass the ball, it's not going to help out your team's chemistry in knowing how to process a game and how your team's going to keep playing the game as well.
I think it would almost work better if, like, Rubley, we knew he was the full-time starting quarterback, because then you'd be able to bring in Rittenhouse as, like, that gadget-go kind of player.
Right. That's what they used him
as. But it's more of the fact that it's flipped, and it's Rittenhouse is really the starter, and it's probably taken more than, I would say, 70% of the snaps this year, just around that. And then Rubley comes in, and he's more of a, you know, pocket passer. Mm-hmm. He's not going to try and get out of the pocket. I think he has one rushing touchdown this year, but that was just because he had an open lane.
Right.
So that's why it's, like, almost kind of weird to me. And I know our friends at the Vedette, obviously Joey is the Vedette editor. They published an article with a bunch of their writers this week, basically kind of putting their opinions on who should be the starting quarterback going forward, because, you know, this team is trying to make a run, and you want to stick with one quarterback if you're trying to make a run and go to the FCS playoffs. And I feel like that's a headline that we shouldn't be getting week 9 of the college football season.
This is no Quinn Ewers versus Arch Manning here, right? Though Texas is a completely different situation than ISU, right? Those are two very talented quarterbacks. This is two this is a situation where we just can't seem to field a starter. Like, we had third and goal, and I believe the third quarter had a chance to make it a two-score game. Rubley was out the entire drive, and then third and goal, Rittenhouse was put in. Completely wrecked the offensive momentum that was going on. I understand the point, right? Trying to get the guy to punch the football in, try and get the score with the guy on the ground. But then he passed the ball. And then I sat there and I was like, what was the reason? Why did we bring him in on third and goal or fourth and goal, whatever it was, just to have him throw the ball when we could have had Rubley in there the whole time and just hand it off to Winkers, right? It felt very disjointed.
Yeah, I kind of thought, like, after week three, we'd be past this whole quarterback debate, and we haven't even come close to past that quarterback debate. So it's a little frustrating. This week, they're headed to Murray State. They have to take on the 1-5 Racers. You would assume that one is almost a chalky win, but you never really know with this Redbird team. All right, I want to do a little volleyball talk before we go to break. Obviously, we had Kennedy Guest on. Once again, thank you so much for joining the show.
Great interview.
Yeah, 100%. This Redbird team, we kind of alluded to it in the interview, just on an absolute run right now. Last weekend, for our games that we covered, Indiana State and Evansville, they swept both those matches and had a gritty win on Monday against Bradley, winning 3 out of 5 sets and ultimately getting the victory. 6 straight wins in Valley play. Only 5 Valley games left. Excuse me, there's way more than that. I don't know why I said that. The computer wasn't loading, but yeah, just an incredible run right now by this Redbird volleyball team.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Okay. I appreciate that. especially, you know, just feels good beating those Braves. A little biasness, but it just feels good to beat those guys in Peoria. Sorry, Mom. I know you went to Bradley. Love you to death, but the Birds had to pull that one off. They did. It's just, especially being the writer for us here at the station for volleyball, it's so easy to write about this team because there's just so many good things to talk about, whether it is their offense clicking on all cylinders, and now Hannah Reichensberger is getting healthy. She started to get a lot more involved in Bradley. In that game, it was great to see her out there a lot more. Again, not seeing as much time as she would like to because she's still nursing that ACL injury. She got surgery on in the offseason. But this team is so well-rounded, and they're just on such a tear right now. I do not see why what Kennedy Guest said couldn't come to fruition, why this team shouldn't be able to win conference and shouldn't be able to make the tournament, the NCAA tournament, because this team really has a shot to go far.
Yeah, I mean, each week that's went by, we kind of have said every single week that this team is beginning to click, and it's all coming together. So Kennedy was right about the whole conference thing. I really think this team can win conference, and it's going to be really interesting to see how they could do from here.
See those Redbirds. You can listen in live this weekend. Tomorrow, we got coverage of UNI. That one starts at 5:50. And then they got Indiana State on Saturday. That one starting at 4:50. When we come back on the Red Zone, we're going to talk the state of Chicago sports. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Back to you, Julian Boss, Casey Chagosi, and joining us now, one of our awesome interns in the news and sports department, Cole Skipper. Cole, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's a big honor.
Of course. We are going to be talking about really just, in general, a Chicago sports soapbox, I guess you could put it. We want to talk a little Chicago Bears. We want to talk about the Bulls and some exciting news that they had this week. Might even get into the Cubs a little bit because I'm pretty sure all of us in this room are Cubs fans. But first, I think we got to get to the bigger news that I think I tweeted out when this news broke that an entire fan base just fell to their knees because I think maybe one of the most unexpected news stories of 2024 is Jerry Reinsdorf is apparently in active discussions to sell the Chicago White Sox after their record-breaking 120 loss season. Yeah, I mean, this is big news, and this could lead to, I think, even bigger news if he ends up ultimately selling the team.
Genuinely, this is really huge for White Sox fans. Like, this is, I want everyone who's listening to understand how monumental this is. Jerry Reinsdorf forever has been talking about wanting to move this team to Nashville, right? There is no secret that he wants this team to move. To hear that he now wants to sell the team is completely out of left field. This is almost Artie Moreno wanting to sell the Angels level of coming out of left field, even though Ransdorf has owned the White Sox for almost four decades now. I think this is, if this comes to fruition and if he does sell, White Sox fans, you have a reason to rejoice. Maybe your front office will become competent again, and maybe you will actually develop what is known as a decent farm system in Major League Baseball terms. But this is huge, and I think all White Sox fans should be very, very happy right now and lucky.
My thing with this is I know a lot of Chicago sports fans have gotten a lot of false hope over probably the last 20 years since Jordan.
Oh, of course.
This feels like another false hope thing where fans are getting very excited that Reinsdorf is leaving, all of that. But at the end of the day, he's the worst owner in all of sports. He's going to be there. He's going to be in Chicago for both the teams until who knows when. And then
I can tell you when.
We can all say when.
But at the same time, like, the White Sox, they do need different, they need different everything. They need different management. They need different ownership. They need different everything. And so do the Bulls at the same time. Mm-hmm. But the amount of money that he's still making with that, the amount of funding that they're still getting from every single sports team they still have, that's going to be hard to take away from him because he is the type of guy, he gets the funding, he cares about that, doesn't care about how the team's doing, and as long as he gets money flowing in, that's all he cares about.
Yeah, Casey touched on the farm system. Like, they could build up a farm system, they'd be okay. Like, selling the team, honestly, I think listening to some of my White Sox fans, friends, they've kind of wanted it to be sold the past couple of years. They wanted him to be out. But building a farm system, not like just worrying about the money, worrying about the team in general, something that maybe they can have hope for.
I think the biggest thing that's kind of being glossed over in this entire big news cycle, because obviously White Sox fans are super excited about the potential of Jerry selling this team, but the guy that he's apparently in active discussions with is Dave Stewart, a former major leaguer. Apparently he has deep, deep roots connected to Nashville.
Could still be a move situation.
I agree. I really do think that if he ends up selling, I almost think it's almost a lock that they move to Nashville.
So it's interesting you said that because I didn't think it was Major Leaguer Dave Stewart until you said that. But Dave Stewart, for those of you who don't know, was a really good pitcher for a long time with the A's and the Blue Jays. Cy Young finisher a few times. Really good pitcher.
I mean, to me, like, I know White Sox fans hate it because primarily they all live in Chicago and around this area. But at the same time, that might be one of the better moves for them to get out of Chicago, just to pretty much have like a whole restart. You just became the worst team of all time this past year. Your team has pretty much two or three good pieces of your future, like Montgomery, Luis Robert, if he still stays, guys like that. If they have a new fresh start, I guess just see that being better for them. But at the same time, people in Chicago would hate to see their team leave, they pretty much would lose probably the whole fan base if so.
It's like a thin line they're walking because there's part of it that's like Jerry finally sells, but I feel that my biggest takeaway from this entire thing is that I feel like Jerry's going to sell and it's almost going to be like, but I'm still going to have like some kind of like hand in it and some exactly.
You know he wants it.
Exactly, because the Nashville thing, if he's selling to someone that already has deep ties with Nashville, it just feels a little out of sorts. I don't know. We just got to see how this kind of progresses over the next couple weeks. I'm assuming we'll probably get some more developments. I hope we get some more developments before he just decides to drop down and say, hey, I'm selling the team, but who really knows?
Jordan? Jordan buying the team?
No way.
Too hot,
George doesn't want anything to do with Chicago. All right, let's talk about those Bulls with Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan's not in town anymore. I don't know if there's a lot to talk about with the Chicago Bulls team, but I think a good story that came out of yesterday was the fact that after, I think it's been like, what,
two and a half years.
Yeah. Lonzo Ball, the former point guard out of UCLA, you know, one of the most hyped up draft picks of all time. So he's spent the last 4 years with the Bulls. This will be his fourth season now. He made his return after just multiple setbacks from his, was it a meniscus injury?
It was. Yeah. It started out as just like soreness, and it just went to worse and worse.
It's just been injury riddled last 2.5 years for Lonzo Ball. He found his way on the court and scored 10 points in his preseason debut for the Bulls. So just, I think it's a feel-good story. It's great to see him back out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think most basketball fans can agree that they all, like, love Lonzo Ball. Just because, not only because of how his injuries have related with him, but also pretty much how he's gone from being hyped up from his father and then getting ridiculed from his whole year in L.A. Then he goes to the Pelicans, plays all right there, goes to the Bulls. They were the one seed for a second. Then he goes down with injuries. And most people did not think he was going to come back at all in the NBA. I personally did not really think he was going to come back either. But to see him fight his way back, he pretty much said he has a whole new knee in his whole knee now. And, I mean, he played great last night. He played good defense. He hustled like Lonzo always does. Mm-hmm. And he's always going to be that missing piece for an offense because he just does everything you need. And I just honestly hope that he stays healthy.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people don't realize is it was a cartilage transplant into his knee. What needs to happen for a cartilage transplant is the complete destruction of a muscle. He had no meniscus, right? Like, this is a completely new knee that he is working on. That's to come back from a complete reconstruction and whoever hears about someone having a cartilage transplant, that's crazy. So to see him not only come back, but come back and play pretty well, I think that a lot of NBA fans are really happy to see Lonzo back, and they hope that he plays well. And I saw a tweet earlier this morning that was like, Zach LaVine stays healthy, Kobe White MVP, Giddy MIP, comeback player of the year is Lonzo, and let the delusional false hope train restart again.
That's not crazy.
I think this Bulls team has a chance to do something, but I think Lonzo being healthy is going to be the biggest storyline of the year.
Yeah, like you said, it's a feel good story basically. I mean, standing ovation he got from the Chicago fans.
It was awesome.
He's going to be on a minutes restriction probably to start the beginning of the season, but 10 points, 15 minutes, 2 threes. Like, it seems like he made everyone better out on the court.
Yeah.
He hustles, plays good defense. Like, Talen Horton-Tucker had 17 points.
Beat the Timberwolves.
Beat the Timberwolves. Terrence Shannon, Anthony Edwards, all those guys. Newly acquired Julius Randle. It seems like he's making the Chicago Bulls team better, and it's something that was definitely needed for the Bulls.
I think you put it best, is making the players around him better, and that's really what was missing over the last couple years with this Bulls team, it felt like. So, who knows? They feel like they're just suiting themselves up for another play-in game, but, you know, maybe some pieces come together, and, yeah.
Will we ever see the real playoffs for the Bulls instead of the play-in game?
Just sitting at 500 making the play-in, barely.
Yeah. All right, we got 5 more minutes of this segment, so I just want to – we could just do a roundtable discussion. The Chicago Bears are 4-2 going into their bye. Finally on a bye. Not actually finally. It's kind of weird having this early season bye. I feel like they haven't had one in so long. But either way, coming off a win in London Town and just absolutely dominating the Jacksonville Jaguars. Caleb Williams just looked phenomenal. That entire offense is finally cooking. The defense is one of the best in the league. But I think there's a big problem in their way, and I think we can pose the question. I think the big problem is that they seem like they're a pretty solid team, that they seem like a team that is well-suited for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the problem is the three teams ahead of them are the three best teams in the NFC in the Packers, Lions, and Vikings. So, I mean, take it as you will, guys. Run with it. I want to hear your thoughts.
I mean, like, all I really cared about this season was seeing this team be competitive again.
Yeah.
I knew that this was going to be a very tough conference, a very tough division itself, and pretty much just seeing Caleb's progression every single week is what I care about. And it seems like the coaching staff is kind of understanding the way he plays as well at the same time and kind of chiming in ways that he could play and making plays that he can also make himself. So as long as they stay healthy and everything, it'll be a toss-up if they can make the playoffs, but at the same time, it's looking good, it's trending good, but you have the toughest part of your schedule at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Right. The schedule is super backloaded for the Bears. It was, looking at it from preseason, like they were going to have all their tough games at the end of the year. Like every single one of our NFC North games comes in the last, I think it's 7 weeks of the season, something like that. I think my math might be bad on that. You can check me. But I think the biggest thing for me that I've really enjoyed watching over the last few weeks is different players starting to finally break out of their shells. Against Jacksonville was Keenan Allen. 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, was DeAndre Swift. Last week against the Panthers, it was DJ Moore. Right? Like, you're looking at these different, and even Cole Kmet, NFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
You know, he's the
first ever long snapper. Filled in five backup long snappers. I guess Cole Kmet's just the best long snapper in the league now. But just seeing all these different guys have these breakout games has really been cool to me, because that just shows that Caleb is finally starting to figure out who he likes as his targets. Keenan Allen's going to be that first down short yardage threat, right? In the end zone, he's got some of the best hands in the game, right? DJ Moore is going to be your long threat down the field, right? And then Romo Dunze can kind of do a lot of different things. He's kind of been the one that I've been waiting on to see have that really big game, and I think he'll have that soon, but he's kind of become the odd man out of the wide receiver trio. And then, you know, the defense is, I think Robbie Gold put it best, saying that this is a Super Bowl, this is a playoff defense, you know? Like, this is a big, like, they're awesome. Like, the defense is sick. Mm-hmm. Like, forgive my bad language, but they're sick. Like, they're awesome. Like, they're great.
Yeah, one thing you guys touched on, Keenan Allen, Caleb Williams, another guy for me that has been huge for the Chicago Bears in at least the last 3 weeks has been DeAndre Swift. Yep. Getting that run game finally going. He's had big games. Glad I have him in fantasy. But yeah, Caleb's developed. Keenan Allen really has broken out, and he's been a big, big help for the Bears.
My favorite thing is seeing a Bears quarterback that looks four different ways before he throws the ball. Yes. I mean,
Justin Fields locked on one target the entire time.
You defended him, man.
I did. We talked about it last time I was on the red zone.
I don't want to fight about Justin Fields. But seriously, I mean, every time they zoomed into his eyes on a replay, it's just one way, two way, three way. He would go to his third option multiple times, and it was just phenomenal to see.
That double pump fake throw?
Yeah.
And the play calls is getting better.
Yeah. And he went with the Mahomes sidearm and threw it into his center's head. That was
50
awesome.
50 sidearm throws, I think, every pregame is what they said that he does.
Nonetheless, the next time we'll see the Bears will be next week, where they'll take on the Commanders. That's a super exciting one.
That's a
as
huge
they
game.
Face Flexed. The other great rookie, Jaden Daniels. But when we come back, we're going to talk some more NFL. We're going to do our pick six here on the Red Zone. 103.3 WZND back here on the Red Zone. Ben Hootie, Julian Boss, Casey Chigothi, and Cole Skipper. Once again, thank you to our sponsors of this episode, Avantes and Sammy. And once again, we are going to do another week of Pick 6, where we pick our six favorite games of the week. Right now, let's take a look at the standings. Julian, alone in first place at 24-12.
We knew it.
Steve and second at 23-13. Myself and Joey at 22-14. And the guest, 20-16. But I will give credit to Connor and Jaden last week. They had the best week at 5-1. So
I think I had the worst week.
That guest is crawling back. So we're right in the thick of things. Kaysen and Cole kind of came to somewhat of an agreement on picks. Some might argue for others, and that's perfectly fine. But yeah, let's get into this game's week. Or the games this week. In about 30 minutes, the Broncos and Saints will kick off. Sean Payton's return back home to New Orleans seems to be a real barn burner. The Saints are without about their second, third, fourth, and fifth weapon, and the Broncos are kind of floating water, honestly, to begin this season. They've definitely surprised me in a lot of different ways. Julian, I'll start with you.
Yeah, that game's so awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
The NFL does a great job scheduling these games.
Right. But. Yeah. Last week on Thursday Night Football, we got a coach's graphic again on the preview. I mean, it makes sense a little bit for this one compared to when it was like Belichick and the Steelers.
Right.
Because Sean Payton's obviously returning back for the first time. Right. But still, it was funny to me. I'm like, yeah, that's kind of hilarious that he's the Broncos player.
I'm going to take the team that's less hurt, so I'm going to go with the Broncos just for the fact that they're just not hurt right now. Mm-hmm. I can't say anything else.
Spencer Rattler versus Bo Nix in a battle of the former SEC quarterbacks. I mean, me and Cole are going with the Broncos here, but I mean, Bo Nix has been so confusing to start the year. I just don't know what his deal is. Like, does he want to throw the ball for 4,000 yards a year? Does he want to run the ball for some odd reason? Give us the Broncos, but I mean, this game's going to be, as we said, a real barn burner.
Right.
It's the tank ball, folks.
Yeah, Bo Nix, I mean, he looked pretty good last week. He's, like you said, he's been kind of confusing. He started out a little, he had the one game where he had negative passing yards in the first half.
negative passing yards.
But I mean, the Saints are pretty banged up. Unless Alvin Kamara really, really shows up with Spencer Rattler.
He's going to need to have a, what was it, last Christmas, two Christmases ago?
He had the six touchdown game. That was longer than that.
That's been like three,
that was 2020.
Yeah. Was it 2020?
I think I was still in high school.
Yeah, that man has been in the league since I was in high school.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I was still in high school.
Is it really that long? I guess it just didn't register.
It's almost like four.
Yeah.
I think me and Casey are going to have to go with the Broncos.
Broncos here, but tough game.
All right, I'm going to take... I'm going to take the Saints.
Just to be different.
I knew it.
Okay, well, first of all, you guys both picked the Broncos, but Joey and Steve both picked the Saints. I don't know. It's a gross game. I feel like the Broncos are playing way too well. Their defense is actually really good.
Patrick Surtain.
He's hurt. He's out.
He's out.
Is he out?
Yeah.
Okay, well, don't listen to me then.
But I don't know. It's just something about the Saints. The 2-4 start, I kind of like riding the tails of Alvin Kamara today, not just on the rushing end, but receiving as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints. It's a bad I feel like it's a coin flip at this point. Let's get into some fun games. Packers and Texans. This one is definitely one of the ones to circle on your book for this week. The Packers, after Jordan Love went down, have just been keep on winning, and they haven't lost – or no, they lost – they haven't lost since he's been back, I'm pretty sure.
No, they got beat by Minnesota.
Okay, thank you. They did lose to Minnesota. And the Texans, I mean, early championship favorite in the AFC. Everyone really likes the direction they're headed in. Julian, I'll start with you. Who are you going with here?
Give me the Texans, man. I hate the Packers. I don't think that that team's going to honestly be able to keep up with the Texans' defense, because anytime I see Jordan Love, he's kind of just throwing the ball up for grabs now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The Texans' defense is not going to let that happen. They haven't let that happen that much throughout the season at all. So, yeah, give me the Texans on this one.
Yeah, me and Cole here are also going with the Texans on this one. And this is not a pick coming from me being a Bears fan who hates the Packers. I really just think that the Texans are that good of a football team. Will Anderson, reigning NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Guy's absolutely gross. He's a stud. We all know that. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. I think he's third in sacks right now. RIP Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
But, you know,
He's not dead.
His knee's dead. His leg is dead. But yeah, I mean, got to give me the Texans here. As much as I hate Ohio State and saying C.J. Stroud is a good quarterback, as a diehard Michigan fan, he's him.
C.J. Stroud is good. He's really been something else, and he's carried this. They're 5-1. The only thing that I think the Packers have going, I mean, their defense leads the NFL in takeaways.
Yeah. Xavier McKinney's a stud.
He's got leads in picks.
Seven?
Something like that. Yeah. But I still think we're going with the Texans, but, I like Julian said, the Texans defense has just been too good all year.
Really good game. This is one to watch for
us. Yeah, I was gonna say, I think this is one of the most evenly matched up games of the week, and a week where there's a lot of great games on this. Mm-hmm. This slate. I would love to go with the Packers to be different, but I'm going to take the Texans in this one. For some reason, I keep looking at this Texans team, and I'm like, they had a really, really bad loss to the Vikings a couple weeks ago, which kind of, like, changed the way that people think about the Vikings. And I feel like the Packers are almost, like, I mean, they played the Vikings super close a couple weeks ago. Obviously, it was, like, Jordan Love was just throwing the ball down the field, and everyone was catching it at the end of that second half. But I'm going to stick with the Texans. I feel like this is like a big game to like really prove it for them and prove that they're one of the best teams in the National Football League. All right, rematch of last year's big game, the Chiefs and the 49ers. The Chiefs have yet to lose, but it's been a weird – a soft, what is it now, 6-0, 5-0?
5-0.
Yeah.
5-0.
That's what I think you said that a couple weeks ago when you came on, correct?
I said they're the softest undefeated team I think I've ever seen.
All right. The 49ers, they are coming off a win on Thursday night last week. And, yeah, I mean, I think really this can go either way considering the Chiefs, they haven't had the best competition early on.
Yeah. For me, I feel like this game is going to kind of be like how we saw the big game was. Mahomes didn't have that many weapons. He kind of just did what Mahomes does and figured it all out. And I think that's what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to win this one after Mahomes just battles some adversity and they all figure it out. Maybe it's the refs help him too.
To quote Ben Hootie from a couple weeks ago, they're the new Patriots. They're just finding a way to win. Yeah. And even though I just called them the softest 5-0, they're going to become the softest 6-0. Me and Cole are going with the Chiefs here. I think very well they're 6-0. They could be 6-0, but they also very well could be 1-4 right now.
Right.
Maybe even 0-5 with some of, you know, they have barely won a lot of their games. They were Isaiah Likely being half an inch into the end zone from losing week one to the Ravens. So yeah, they're big game contenders again, but I mean. Mm-hmm. They're probably one of the worst big game contenders I've seen in a long time. But again, they just can't stop winning.
Right, right. And Travis Kelce, we all talked about it. He didn't really play too well at the beginning of the season.
Right.
But he's kind of come out. And a big surprising thing that for me that I thought thinking at the Chiefs at the beginning of the year was their defense has been very good.
Their secondary is really good.
Their secondary has been very good.
Which was a problem for them last year.
Drew Tranquil, Notre Dame guy. Love the guy. Huge Notre Dame fan. But he's played well. Their defense has been pretty good. So we're taking the Chiefs.
I'm going to be different here. Even though Joey is taking the 49ers, I'm also going with the 49ers. I think they're going to need some revenge from last year.
They need a win.
I think it's going to be a great game no matter what. All right, Sunday Night Football, Jets and Steelers. The Jets just made a big-time trade, reuniting Aaron Rodgers with his bestie, Davante Adams, and the Steelers are making a quarterback change. They're going from Russell Wilson instead of Justin Fields, even though they are 4-2. Interesting decision there. All right, Julian, what do you got?
They need to stop putting these bum games on primetime games. But game of the Jets, I mean, Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers back again, and I think that's just going to click right away. So, yeah, give me the Jets.
Quick and easy here. Going Steelers. I will continue to Justin Fields glaze, even though they're going with Danger Russ, Mr. Unlimited. Mm-hmm. I do think the Steelers are still going to pull this one out. I don't think the Jets are really that dangerous.
For me, yeah, I don't think the Davante Adams move was what they was the move that is going to put them over the top.
Nope.
They have too many problems than that. So, yeah, we're going with the Steelers.
They have an Aaron Rodgers problem is what they have.
Joey went with the Jets. Steve went with the Steelers. In the reunion, I'm going with the Jets. I feel like Russell Wilson's not going to play phenomenal. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen him in game action. Mm-hmm. The Rodgers and the Jets need to win really badly, and their offense didn't look horrible on Monday night. I mean, it looked better than Nathaniel Hackett's ran offense.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I'm going to go with the Jets here. I picked them last week because the coach firing stat that Joey gave. So I'm going to ride it out.
Great stat,
as long as the Jets are on primetime or on pick six, I'm going to keep riding out the Jets until they finally get a win. All right. Monday night, Ravens and Buccaneers. I think this is a matchup of two of the best teams in the National Football League right now.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. I think that's honestly, I've been hating on the primetime games, but that's a great one right there. Give me the Ravens for it. I love betting on Lamar Jackson now.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ravens here, me and Cole. Even though I am Boomer Sooner till I die, Baker Mayfield is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm just saying that. But Ravens are awesome team. Derrick Henry is back.
Oh,
100% back.
Oh, yeah,
he's the best running back in football right now. He needed a scene change. Clearly, and it has done wonders for him. What John Harbaugh said about him not being as big of a part of the offense was clearly a false lie. He is the best running back in the league, and give me the Ravens.
And he leads in all the rushing stats, rushing yards, touchdowns. He's got more rushing yards than Will Levis does passing yards. Like he's been insanely good for the Ravens, along with Lamar Jackson, and their rushing attack is 1,000% back.
I'm going to be with Steve on this one. I'm going to go with the Bucks. The Bucks are a lot of fun. It's such a fun offense to watch. They're just explosive. And last week, I mean, Rashad White was out, and Sean Tucker all of a sudden, hello, NFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Hello.
Bucky Irving's awesome. Their receivers can just...
Oh, my guy.
Yeah. He actually... My roommate tackled him in high school.
Ooh.
Fun little stat.
That's a great beat.
Yeah.
Okay.
like Adley Rutschman tackling Christian McCaffrey right there.
All right. Let's do Lions-Vikings. This is our pick six game of the week as voted on by you, the people. Julian, let's set us up for one of the best games of the year, maybe.
Man, this is going to be a great game. The Vikings are finally going to get that loss, and the Lions are going to bring it to them. They have Hutchinson gone, and that's going to make their whole defense angry now. So give me the Lions in this one.
Me and Cole are going with the Vikings here. They're going to improve to 6-0. Brian Flores is a defensive mastermind. Clearly, his scheme is, as Brock Purdy said, nasty. So, got to go with the Vikes here, going 6-0. Aiden Hutchinson going down really, really hurts the defense.
Yeah, we're going with the Vikings. I could see the Lions. Their secondary's been very well. Kirby Joseph, Illinois guy. He's got since Ed Reed, it's like the four causing four picks or something like that.
Yeah.
And the Lions offense is really good, but we're going with the Vikings. I think Sam Darnold's been playing really well.
MVP
candidate. And Justin Jefferson is Justin Jefferson.
That injury hurt really bad for that defense, but what I saw what the Lions did last week to the Cowboys was...
It was a mauling.
Did not expect that at all. I think the Lions are the best offense in this league, and the Vikings have to lose at some point, and I think it's going to be this week because the Lions... They're one of the best teams in the National Football League right now. Kaysen and Cole, thank you so much for joining the show. It was a pleasure to have you guys on. And once again, thank you so much for Kennedy Guest from the Redbird volleyball team for joining earlier on. It was a great interview. Once again, if you want to listen back to that, you can always listen at our website at WZND.com. And as always, we will be back
every
Thursday.
This has been
Thursday
Red Zone.
Robinson moving out, drives inside. Going to find Mary Clapton for her first three of the day. And it's good.
Curry owned the league last year.
And personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
I agree, I've got five.